Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a proven powerful process for unlocking the full potential of the teams across your organization. We facilitate strategic planning, ensure project teams deliver results on time and on budget, and we enhance teamwork by turning problems into possibilities. We want to thank our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Loco, and Cause San Diego. We're all focused on impacting the community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. Today, we have a serial entrepreneur who is leading her own company, but also guiding others on their journey. Her mission, make a difference for those unsung heroes in our society, the caregivers. I love that.
Yeah.
Tracy Cole, welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Currently, Tracy is the CEO and founder of Dignity Bath and Spa, where she's leading with a mission-driven approach to transform the caregiving experience through thoughtful, dignified innovation. She's also the director of the Southern California Veterans Business Outreach Center, where she leads the effort to support veterans and military-connected entrepreneurs in starting or growing their own business. Are you ready to rock and roll here,
Tracy? I am ready. Yeah, shoot.
Well, I like to start out with, why do people do what they do? So I love the idea that you're helping people who are carrying the responsibility for others. And I've been through some caregiving with my parents, yes. And that, actually doing that with my dog at the moment.
Right.
Well, takes a lot of patience.
It does, definitely.
Yeah. So what led to that? Why do you have such a heart for that?
Just growing up, you know, my mom was in like social service type work, and she would always sign me up to be a volunteer. So, you know, I was like a campfire leader when I was in high school, and then I would go to like different camps. And I think that, plus I was born with a congenital defect of my leg. So I had to wear like a brace until I was like five, and then a lift on my shoe, and, you know, several surgeries and physical therapy. And I think it helped me connect with people and understand like that, what are they going through? How do they feel? Because I went through such a trauma as a young child. So I think that combined with my mom's, you know, exposing me to different things just kind of made me that kind of a person. I loved babies when I was little. I loved babysitting. So I think I love caring for people. And I think it just transpired throughout my life just to do things for others. So,
love that.
Yeah.
So now you seem to have shifted a little bit to people kind of on the other end of life that are having some challenges.
Yeah.
So, what's behind that?
So with my dad had Alzheimer's.
That's a challenge.
It is a very challenge. And there's so many people out there that are dealing with, you know, not just Alzheimer's caregivers, but like caregivers around the spectrum from like helping people after stroke or diabetes or those who have limited abilities or, you know, someone has surgery. And it might be a knee replacement, so it's not like end of life, but they need help. I was kind of thrown into that world helping, you know, my sister and my mom helped my dad. And then my dad lived with us a couple days a week. So during that time, my mom's like, yeah, give him a shower and all this and help him. And so the first time I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. She didn't give me any more advice on that. So I just like laid out his clothes in the bathroom, like in order. Put the underwear on, and then I turned the shower on, and then I left the bathroom. And I just stayed outside the bathroom, and I'm like, okay, Dad, now I'm going to talk you through the process. You know, my dad was like 78 at this time, and, you know, with Alzheimer's, you get a little less balance and stuff. And
being 78, you have less
balance. Exactly, just in general, right?
Just celebrated my 70th birthday, so
okay.
I get it.
You get it, right? Exactly, we lose our balance. So I go in the bathroom, I get his soiled clothes, and then I kind of peek in there, and he had like sometimes his socks on or his t-shirt, and then I realized he's probably not getting clean.
Yeah.
And,
can't
you know,
let
right, and I thought, you know, well, I don't want to invade his privacy.
Right, that's the
There's boundaries, right? And so fortunately for me, you know, I tell my mom, and I'm like, he got dressed. I go, he took his own shower. I didn't really help him. So can you just like make sure he gets a shower when you get home? So he would, my mom would help him when she had him on the other days.
They have a different relationship.
Exactly, right. So it's totally, right? And so I at least could rely on someone to help through that process. But what if he was with me 24/7 a week, and then what would I do? So I'm like, there's got to be a solution to like help with like the embarrassment. And I know that he would be kind of mortified as well. Let's see if we can create something. I think in the back of my mind from high school days, when I was a swimmer, we'd all like shower after in the big, you know, room. And I just showered through my bathing suit. And so I'm like, I think I could use a swimsuit material fabric from personal experience and create something that my dad could wear or other people could wear that would cover their privates and give them a sense of dignity. And that's what I did.
That's the current business.
That's the current business, Dignity Bath and Spa. Obviously, the word dignity. The spa part is like, you know, can we create an environment where your loved one still enjoys the shower? Because it's not just covering privates, but like, what about other things? You know, like essential oils or whatnot. But the main part is you can't do any of that unless you take care of the dignity and the safety portion too. Because with my, and this is kind of an added benefit with my wrap, is that, you know, I can be in the shower and hold on to a loved one and it clings so they won't slip, so I can watch their movements. So it's not just covering them, it's being able to be close and hold on to them as well. Right. With that sense of a barrier, you know, in between, a physical barrier. And so, yeah, so that definitely solves a lot of problems for people that are like, you know, you change your relationship between me and my dad. Then not me, like another caregiver, her dad, because now she could fully be involved in that caregiving process.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes me want to cry when I think of some, you know, like she sent me a picture of her and her dad and he's just so cute to know that they have a better relationship now, which I never knew this was going to be an end result. I thought it was going to be more very tactical, right? Like,
I'm just solving a problem.
Right. I'm just solving a problem, move on. But it is kind of that emotional part. And I think that's what really makes me want to continue with that, is that I'm changing lives and I'm helping others care for people. And I just love that.
Well, that makes all the difference, yeah. I think.
It does.
Right? Now you have a mission and a purpose.
Exactly.
I'm not just trying to make a buck over here.
Right, exactly, right? You know, and I figured, like, when I was determining, like, what should the price point of my product be, I knew there was a high demand for my product, and there's a, you know, the problem is really sensitive. I knew I could charge more, given that whole value pricing, but I'm like, caregivers are already strapped. You know, they're taking care of people who may be in a fixed income. And I'm like, so even in my pricing, I thought, what can I charge that's going to be able for them to have access, but still obviously make a profit on myself, but not really take advantage of people.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole premise of this podcast, right? We're interviewing business leaders that are leading beyond profit.
Right.
Have a higher purpose and have a mission to do things. So,
exactly.
You know, that make a difference in the world.
Exactly.
So you're kind of honoring all the stakeholders, just the shareholder, you trying to make some money at this thing. It's like, you know, who all is touching, right?
It can affect, obviously, I cared for my dad. I had kids at home. So, like, my stress is affecting, you know, taking care of my dad, but it's also trickling down to my kids. If you can kind of solve one portion, it makes the caregiver's life better. It's going to make the family life better.
For sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of pieces here. And then there's also grandkids that help shower and take care of their grandparents.
Ah.
And so I just recently followed this gentleman on Instagram, and he takes care of his mom. And people had said, why do you get in the shower with her? Like, why do you? And he's like,
I don't have a choice,
right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, things like that where people are judgmental. And I just want to bring love and caregiving and, you know, make it easier for them. So, and, you know, reduce that stress.
Well, usually people are judgmental because they just don't have the experience.
Right.
Haven't seen that movie.
Well,
they aren't
a caregiver yet, or they don't know a caregiver, but they may soon be a caregiver.
Yes.
None of us are getting away with that.
Or find yourself on the other side
of
the equation.
You're getting cared for. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I went through that with my folks. My mom, we had her like an assisted living, didn't really have in-house care yet, but she needed that.
Right.
So I just remember sitting on the couch. Yeah. I helped her go get into the bathroom, and then she comes wandering out, and she had like a oxygen thing going on.
Oh, no.
So she's like all wrapped around this thing, pants are down around her. I'm like, this is not something I really want to see, right?
Right? These are the things. So if we can like prevent some of that, at least in the shower part or the bathing part, and a little less stress along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. In fact, I even talked to a gentleman who used to be like an in-house caregiver for like a senior home. And I talked to him, was talking about entrepreneurship. And he's like, that would have helped me care for others because then I'm not embarrassed or, you know, I know they're not feeling weird and it makes it safer. And I thought, wow, I'm always thought of like the family caregiver. But I never really thought of, like, the paid caregiver in a senior home. I thought, you know, it's very just transactional. They're just used to seeing this, right? Boom, boom, boom. But he, I was kind of impressed. And he's a Marine, too. Now a veteran Marine. And I'm like, wow, you're like the toughest. And you think this could help you. So I was really impressed
by it. Yeah, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to have some dignity. And,
right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I love it. So
like I mentioned earlier, we're kind of going something with my dog who's 15, Telly. And he's currently on a diaper.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he's just standing there looking at you and he'll just pee, right? Now he's got some diarrhea thing going. So it's like.
It's like
the first part is I'm looking at him going, I'm not that far off from this. Right.
So. Well, no one knows, right? We never know our path. Let's just make a better path along the way. I have a friend who is, she's a medical doctor and she's kind of like a partner. We like do things, you know, together with businesses and stuff. And she's like, being cared for is like. You are going to be cared for one day. Let's just make the process more dignified. No one's getting out of this free. No, and it's all going to happen one day. I like that. I'm like, yeah, we're not getting out of it.
No.
And so let's just like make it the best possible. You know, I mean, I can't give you advice on your dog.
I'm looking at the dog and looking at me.
Yeah,
going,
right. And you're like,
we're on the same path.
Oh no, goodness. Yeah, we all are.
Yeah. Yep. I just went in for a physical yesterday and I brought, you know, the prostate thing here. You're like, yeah, we got a pill for that. I don't want a pill.
I know, right. Well, it's interesting. It's like we all want to have long, fulfilling lives, but nobody wants to get older, right?
Exactly.
And it is, right? You just do the best you can along the way, but you think it's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. And then, you know, it could be you.
So my dad was in hospice and I'm sitting next to him, you know, reading up about death. Like, you know,
I'm
trying to learn about what this is, what's going to happen, what this all look like. And
One
of the things that really struck me was that there was some ER doctor who talked about death. Yeah. And he says, you know, we die three ways. Mm-hmm. He goes, one is you just, boom, drive your car into a cliff or whatever.
You're just out.
That's maybe like 5%, some real small percentage,
which
is the way we all want to go.
Yeah, just kaboom, just in your sleep peacefully at like 99, right?
Well, that's kind of number two.
Okay.
Something happens, right? You just kind of auger in. Like you had some heart attack or you had some brain cancer, you know, a month later, that's it. You just go straight into the ground, literally.
Yeah, literally.
And the third one is the stepping stone one, where something happens, you recover, but you don't recover all the way. And then the next thing happens, the next thing. So it's like you're just going down the stairway that can last over years, you know, going through all the things you're talking about.
You get one step up, you go back two.
Yeah. And that's something like, that's like 70% of the people follow that one, right? We all want the first two, but most of us end up in this other thing, right? So that's your product is like a critical aspect of it.
It is, I think, you know, because you could take even all stages of life. You know, when I was in the hospital when I was a kid, I could have used my product because like even though my mom was helping me bathe, it was like 11. And that's an age where,
you're paying attention to that.
Exactly. Now kids obviously will pick them, you know, they will heal and can move forward. But like, we get to the age 60, 70, we know that, you're going to need more help along the way after a surgery, like a knee replacement or something. And why not just have dignity along the way? I don't want to be naked in the bathroom and having like my daughter or my son help me.
Right.
Like, that's just terrifying.
It's embarrassing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We spend our whole life covering our bodies, and then you just expect someone, when they need help, to just lay it all out there.
Someone like, magically all this.
Right, like it's all those feelings are going to go away. So I want to help them and myself in the process, right?
Exactly.
You know, have a knee replacement one day, and I'm using my wrap. In fact, my mom, it was interesting. She said, you know, I've been using your wrap because she's, I think, 86 right now. She's like, I can shower by myself, but I'm afraid if I slip and I fall out of the shower, I'm going to be naked. And then people are going to come help me and I'm going to be naked. And I'm like, well, that's really interesting. I never really thought about it that way before. Preventative, right? And so I was talking to a veteran who happened to be a firefighter. And I was just talking about, I don't know, something. And he's like, you do not believe how many people a week, older people we see lying on their bathroom floor naked because they fell and they're naked. And my first response was to get a towel and cover them. And he's like, I think that's another use case. And I'm like, wow, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of surprises.
Right.
There's
a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
Well, you talk to people who also help others or the caregivers. They see what's happening in the world that we don't, like the firefighter, for instance. I didn't know that world. Or a grandson helping his grandmother. What does that world look like? So just continuing to talk to caregivers and learning more about what they're experiencing, that helps me position my product better in terms of like, who can I connect with? Who needs this help?
So maybe a little too much information here. But
I know.
I had my own experience. almost 2 years ago, I had a stroke.
Ooh.
It was on a Sunday morning, and I was laying in bed, naked, by the way.
Yeah, right.
So all of a sudden, I'm like, I can't talk. And my wife's going, call 911. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine, right?
Yeah, right, with your face half drooping down.
Yeah. So I proceed to try and get up, which then I fell down. Twice I fell down, but I'm also like laying.
Right, you're laying there like butt naked.
So let me just say, it's not easy to put underwear on while you're having a stroke.
Right, exactly.
Because again, I was very conscious of the fact that I don't want to be laying there butt naked even though I'm having a stroke.
Right?
Yes.
And we think of that as we get older. What if I slipped and, you know, like you could be totally healthy 60-year-old and you slip, putting on your shoes or bending down to get something and you're half naked. Yeah. Where's my wrap? I mean, I have a bunch in my storage unit, but I don't have one in my bathroom. Maybe I should.
Well, this is a whole different kind of podcast today.
I know, right. You guys.
I love it.
Caregiving is real.
So I'm going to circle back a little bit to something here. You work with a lot of entrepreneurs helping get their company started. And you just spoke about the mission and the vision and how that helps really kind of drive everything from what do I charge and all these kinds of things.
Right.
So as you work with people, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the kind of that pulling out the purpose and the mission and
help
people understand the role that plays in all this?
The most important thing when I'm working with somebody is learning what they're trying to solve, what problem they're trying to solve. So I have individuals that come in and say, I just want to start this business, and like electrician, let's say. I'm like, okay, you just want to be like every other electrician? Let's really find out what is missing in your industry. What is missing with people that are getting services from electricians? It could be residential, commercial. So I really want to kind of have them think out of the box right from the very beginning, from the first meeting. So we spend a couple of meetings just on the problem they're solving. And if they don't really have a good definition of it, I'm like, you need to go talk to your family. You need to go talk to some friends. And I want to give them, or I do give them, a list of questions to ask. And the questions are very open-ended. I'll say, ask your family members, when there's an electrical problem in their household, what do they do? How does it make them feel? You know, so to really get the essence.
That one to make you feel.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so you can learn a lot about how individuals feel about going through like hiring an electrician or having someone come into their house, or what does the aftermath look like when the electrician leaves? And so all of these different things are really just in that one section, the problem you're solving. If we don't have that defined, and even like it's a hypothesis, we don't research that to make sure it's true or false, I don't want to move further. I don't want you to spend your time or your money not knowing how you're going to be different from your competitors.
Right.
How are you going to solve many problems? So I even just take the simple thing as an electrician or a plumber or a construction person. Those kinds of industries, you know, there's industries that are sexy, like, software and things like that. But most of the individuals that I consult with, they're not going into those industries. They're doing a trade or, you know, they want to go into government contracting. And so how can we make it the best possible positioning for you? And all starts with the problem you're solving. Whose life are you going to make easier, and how are you going to do it?
Yeah, I find kind of personally, like we got a product like yours, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to kind of tie a big purpose or mission behind, we're really trying to help people and all this. So it's like kind of a nonprofit doing something. It's like, that's easy to get everybody rallied around that piece.
Right.
But if I'm, doing trash cans or something, it's a whole different story.
Right.
But there's usually a story behind the story. What I love what you're saying. How do people feel? What was that thing that you're really, that problem you're really trying to fix out there? Why were you drawn to this thing?
Right.
And often if you, a couple of why questions, we'll pull that out.
Yep, the five whys, right?
The five whys.
The five whys.
And then all of a sudden it's like, all of a sudden you feel this little tingle that says, now we're onto something here.
Emotional
piece of it.
It's true. I had a veteran come in and talk to me, and he wanted to start a business, but he didn't really know what. But he worked and maintained armory and artillery and guns in the military. But he also loved writing, and he also loved writing like children's books. And I'm like, ding, like you have these two loves. Can you combine them? And he kind of lit up and he's like, wow, there's a gun safety problem in this country. How can I use my skills as being in the military? People are going to look at that as trustworthy and credible. And now you love writing children's books. Combine the two together. And so those kinds of things we like to, when I'm working with the military community, is like, how can we bring that military experience into your business as well? So like for an electrician, for instance, how can you say, you know, you were a veteran or you worked in the military? Like what skills and what connections in terms of how you work with people did you learn that you can bring into this that's not currently in that industry?
Yeah.
So, you know, bring their whole being in. Just don't forget about their past. Bring it in together.
It's actually an exercise. I don't think most people themselves can actually kind of flesh that out. It's like you need someone to kind of keep asking that question.
You're right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, something happens.
You know, and that's interesting you say that because it's easier for me to look at somebody else's business than my own, right? And so, you know, so I have mentors as an entrepreneur. And so it helps me like kind of like see, it's hard to see outside, but to look in. So, but as an entrepreneur, it's sometimes hard to take that advice. I mean, you take it, but you're like kind of like a little knife in your stomach kind of feeling, you know, but you have to like be open to it and be coachable as an entrepreneur.
So the book I shared with you, the Jailbreak Leadership book, and there is a process for helping you discover your two-word purpose, which is the same thing. It's kind of your why.
Yeah, your why.
And people read the book. Oh, Jeff, I landed on it. I go, really? Because I always find it's like you need someone else to kind of challenge you on it because your purpose, in my opinion, you're already doing it.
Right.
You just haven't really put words to it. We haven't really identified it. So I think it's really, really, you're kind of the last person in the room to actually figure it out sometimes.
It does, right? You are the last person.
That's what I do. Oh, okay,
That's what I do, or someone phrases it in a different way that make you think about it differently. And you're like, So I love the part of helping entrepreneurs and myself. I love the problem-solving phase. That's like my most favorite part of entrepreneurship is solving the problem and investigating it and making sure it's a go or not. And then creating that value proposition.
So are we solving a real problem?
Exactly. Solving a real problem. You know, you have the solution. We solved it. Testing the solution to make sure it's right, that people want it solved. They want to pay you to have it solved.
Well, there's the other piece.
Right. And then can they afford to have you to pay have it solved? Defining that value proposition to really set you differently. Those are like, that's like my secret weapon. I love that part. And I spend a lot of time with those veterans and those who are leaving the military on those three sections, as well as my own business. I have tons of ideas for businesses that I need more people to actually do the work. I just like to want to generate the ideas, right?
Yeah.
But it's super fun for me, and it inspires me to solve problems.
So maybe share a little bit about the work you're doing with the veterans.
Yeah. So
in that organization.
Yes. I'm the director of the Southern California Veterans Business Outreach Center. We are located in Cardiff by the Sea, which is pretty much south of Carlsbad, if no one knows where Cardiff is. We are funded by the Small Business Administration they're a grant-funded program. So MiraCosta College hosts us, and they have the grant. And what we do as part of our mission is to be on military bases. So we're on Camp Pendleton, Miramar, Navy Base San Diego. And we're part of the transition program. When somebody is a service member is leaving the military, they can go learn about educational route or employment. They also can learn about entrepreneurship. So we have a two-day class where we teach them everything high level from what is entrepreneurship? Do I want to do entrepreneurship? You know, and just the major components of that from that, you know, what the problem you're going to solve, what's your value, marketing, finance, getting like investment, whether it's your own investment into the business or looking for a loan or something. And then after that, we advise them so they can make an appointment with us, and mostly are all on Zoom right now. We just figure out what do they want to do? What is their interest? And really get them kind of started in what is entrepreneurship with one-on-one appointments with me or my advisors. And then we also navigate them to resources that can help them along this journey, whether it's funding or it's HR, or it's just like, I don't have an idea, but I might want to do something. I love those. And I'm like, ooh.
My little book over here. I got like 20 different things you could be doing.
Exactly, right. Like, ooh, let's find out what you like. But also what I like to bring in the conversations is, because some people will come in, I have a passion for this. You know, I want to start this. And I'm like, what do you... Also, like for those that don't have any ideas, what do you dislike so much that you want to change? And that's another way of looking at it versus like, oh, I have a passion for kids. What, maybe you have a passion for kids not getting hurt or something. I'm working with a veteran right now, and we just pivoted his business from one type of helping those in the community avoid like school shootings and things like that to another portion because it just wasn't, he wasn't getting the traction he needed. So we're looking for, now we're testing those problems and we're seeing if there's a market out there for that. So I think that's really fun.
Wow. So, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's kind of funny. Back again to the book. Yeah. I was just talking about I mean, my purpose process,
yeah.
try to discover what you do.
Yeah.
We actually take you down a path of like, what's that thing that makes you get out of your seat that you you just need to be solved? So then you identify what that is, and then we try to put words to what that actually, what your activity is in solving the problem as your kind of your core purpose. So
Exactly. Yeah, it is. And it's interesting because when you're talking to individuals, and I'm sure you've experienced this, when you look at that problem and then they see the light goes off, and you're like, they're just out the gate. You know, they just want to go do it right now. It's really great to see that light bulb go off, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can do that. And then, you know, of course, we
go back again. I got passion about that. Right. I got a mission here. Right.
It's like, now I have like a roadmap, you know, and as we help them to develop a roadmap of like, you know, what is first, some very tactical things like, do you need an LLC or are you going to be a sole prop or do you need a C corporation in business licenses to taking this idea, this mission and being able to talk to others about it, but also put it in print, like on your website. Because sometimes you have this great idea in your head and it's hard to get those words out on paper where it sounds the same. So we have a lot of great partners to help us do that with our military connected families and the veterans.
So are most of the people volunteers in this organization? Or
look like? Because of our grant through the
SMO. Can pay people?
Yeah, we can actually pay people.
Nice.
So we have 4 or 5 instructors that actually are part-time. And they will go on base and instruct the 2-day modules. And then
typically
I have
past military folks or no?
Yes. Actually, two are veterans, actually both Air Force. And then we have a third one is a veteran. He's a Marine. And then we have another who is military family, like her father and uncles and friends are very well military connected. And then my dad was in the military, so I'm military connected. And so for the most part, in that we like to bring in those who...
Makes sense, right?
Right.
You can relate.
Right. And that's what makes the VVOX so special is because we have all these other great resources like SCORE, the Women's Business Center, and they have their audience. The VVOX is a safe place. It's where we say, come to us. We will be your mentor and your guide throughout your journey. You can keep coming back to us. You can ask us, what should you do now? And we can refer you to a resource, but then come back to us. And
not one and done.
Exactly. And having veterans and military connected on staff makes it so much better to know that it's a safe place. And it's a place where the advisors understand what it's like to transition out of the military. So
it's not so easy, too, as I understand.
No,
having not being a military guy, I do understand it's a big challenge.
It is a big challenge. You know, you have someone has your back from, and you have somebody's back the whole time in the military, and then you go into entrepreneurship. And then it's like, entrepreneurship is lonely to begin with. And then if you're losing your tribe, who has your back? And so we try to fill that. We have some great events coming up where it's going to be built around wellness, community, and then, of course, networking, entrepreneurship, where current entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs will come together with maybe some that are looking into entrepreneurship and start building that community around like more of a social engagement. But talking about your whole being as well, you know, having your mind right and your body right, because entrepreneurship is really stressful.
Yes.
And then having those you can turn to and call up and say, hey, when you were at this stage of your business, what happened? How can you help me? So to really build that community within San Diego and Imperial Valley.
So what's your favorite success story?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. So let's talk about Nina Pennedy. I don't know if I exactly say her name correct. She is a veteran of the Navy for about 20 plus years. She came over from France. She grew up in France. And then she was she came to Miami, and then she went to school, and then she decided to enlist. They said, you can either be a chef or an electrician. And she's like, I'll take electrician. So she went that route. So she was in the military, but she never actually was on a ship. She was actually just on ground the whole time, which is really interesting. So she left the military and is like, I need to solve a problem that she had. She's African descent. And she's like, there was like, on the ship, there's no products for, you know, curly hair and textured hair. And so she'd get off the ship at ports, and there was no place that really serviced her needs. And so she's like, I'm going to start this myself. So she started just selling products, not necessarily her own products, but other people's brands. And so she was able to get a table at Navy Base San Diego, like 32nd Street, 33rd Street, I'm not sure which one it is, when the ships came in to sell products. And it just was just like so popular people are like, this is exactly what we need. So now she sells on other bases like Camp Pendleton. They want to offer a place at Los Angeles Air Base to come in. She's done an event at University of San Diego. She's doing events all over. She went to Yuma to the Air Base out there and is doing an event there. So she has all these pop-up events of selling hair care products for people with textured hair. Same time, she's finishing her MBA at University of San Diego, and now she's starting another master's program there. And she's a cancer survivor, so she's endured cancer throughout this process. And she just won a vehicle through Enterprise and Progressive to help her take her products and go to all these different events. So she got like a Honda Odyssey.
Wow.
from this. And I wrote her a recommendation for it. And she won. Her and another gentleman who's also a veteran. They're both veterans. So now she has reliable transportation to build her business. You know, starting small, just perseverance, and doing all these other things. Like, it's just an amazing story. I just am waiting for, like, her to hire people. She's actually trying to hire people to help do some of these pop-up events and just solving a problem that she was having.
Yeah.
And
Simple as that.
And I love it. And she's very dynamic and just an amazing person. So I'm so happy for her. And she's an amazing case story. Yeah, it's great.
So obviously you're meeting lots of people and some of them have some desire, whatever. Yeah. Based on your experience, what are, like, the characteristics of the successful entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a good question. Coachable. Doing their homework on time. and what I've noticed too is not just like doing the homework that I might give them, is that they do other things up and beyond what I have them do.
They're interested.
Yeah, exactly. They'll research something and they'll go ahead and do it proactively. So that's super big. I think there's only, you know, a handful of those that come through our program that don't necessarily start their business. Or it's interesting. And I think that's because of the experience and the skills, what they learn and what they get from the military. They're very determined to make something.
There's another trait.
Determination.
Perseverance.
Risk taker.
Yes.
In fact, I was just talking to a group of service members at the transition program, and I said, do you think you were enduring risk when you signed in the military? Because you didn't know what you were going to do. And they're like, yeah, we didn't, you know, I thought you might want to, I wanted to do this, but they wouldn't let you do that and you had to do that. So I said, entrepreneurship is like that. So I look at, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen with your career in the military, where you were going to be positioned, you know, where you were going to be located and stationed. That's kind of like entrepreneurship. You know what you might want to do, but you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know,
they're gotta be flexible.
Definitely flexible in there. Adaptive, being able to take a new environment or a pivot and run with it, whether it's moving to Bahrain versus like, well, the customer segment I'm looking at isn't really responding. So be opening to pivot and move to a different and letting go, taking on the new challenge.
Yeah.
There's so many more. I'm just trying to think of the slide that I teach because there's like, we have nine on there, like nine different, but there's like probably 20 or 30. And of course I'm blanking right now.
There's always those few though that kind of stand out there as the
right.
Without these, you're not going to get there.
Yeah, perseverance and just, you know, having this sense of doing things right. You know, when I did my LLC, I didn't know what I was doing. And I noticed that there's this this line that you don't want to cross. Everything has to be done correctly. And so I don't know what skill that is, but and I don't want to say perfectionist, but to make sure that you're not doing things that are going to get you in trouble later on. So I don't know if that's instilled in the military or it's just the person, but it seems to be a common trait.
I would guess that's a bit of a military piece, right?
Yes.
They're kind of about the big master SOP, right?
Yes, exactly. Right.
This is how we do it here.
This is how we do it here. And then they're going to. So I think that is, yeah. And I think a lot is just, I don't want to be told what to do anymore. And I want to try doing something on my own.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
So
that's been my problem my whole life.
Right? I know. Someone telling me what to do.
I have control issues. I don't want to be controlled, and right. I want to be in control.
Right.
Other than that, life is great.
So people just follow that rule. You're great.
Everything's perfect for me.
Love that.
I'm still trying to work through those issues.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of us are.
Blame my parents on that one, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We can always blame the parents for that. I'm going to be blamed, I'm sure. So we'll for my kids.
So one of the things that I'm kind of looking at today is all this radical uncertainty we seem to have in the world here between AI coming into our world in a big, huge way, that transformation.
Right.
All these worldly things that are going on, our domestic things that are going on. Mm-hmm. So kind of sitting where you're sitting, what's your thoughts on that? Advice?
Well, from my experience working with the demographic I do, and then my, you know, my own entrepreneurial journey, is that I see a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs looking for things that are like AI resistant. I have a couple, she's a veteran, and she's like, we're going to buy funeral homes.
Okay.
You can't use AI for that. I mean, it's going along our conversation from earlier, right?
Exactly.
Funeral homes, or there's certain trades AI can help, but it's not going to replace them. So I see a lot of like practicality in terms of those who I'm working with. On my end, I'm a products person. So I love the physical product.
Yeah.
So I think AI, that for me and those that I'm advising, is how can we use AI to make your job more efficient, yes, and you less stressful? Can we create a, you know, a personal assistant, this AI generator that can answer questions so you can, these can be answered in the middle of the night. So in fact, part of the programs we're doing three programs through a Kaiser Permanente grant. One in May 6th, it's going to be at Bonehead Burgers, and it's owned by a veteran. And part of we're doing four different modules. One of the modules is AI. It's like how to use it, not to replace what you're doing, but to make your job more efficient and to create an overall better health for you as an entrepreneur. So you're not maybe worried about, oh, what's happening in the accounting part of my business? What's happening in the marketing part? Some of the things can be helped and aided through AI. So we don't want to replace the worker.
But that's a great point. I mean, I think AI is about how do we collaborate with AI?
How do we make how does it make me do my job better?
Yeah. And it's not just a tech tool, though.
It's a tech tool, right, yeah.
But it's kind of an elevated tech tool.
It is. And it's hard because if you're in business, you're running a construction company, you're like, I don't know the first thing about AI. Or, you know, and so that's what I think coming to the VBOC is we can guide you through you know, different workshops and different trainings and some advisors who can at least get you started with the baby steps. Don't look at it as like this whole thing I need to do AI. Let's just say, what is the, right, just the most simple part of it. It's like when we first started using computers, we just had to learn to turn it on. That was the first thing. So we're kind of there, I think, in terms of just those baby steps.
Yeah.
Don't let it overwhelm
actually,
you.
Just kind of focus on that a little bit in my own business practice here because a lot of my clients are starting to move towards AI. And I kind of show from the side of like, I'm not here to tell you, I'm not an AI expert. I'm telling you how to use the tool. I'm talking to you about how you're going to integrate it into your business. You know, how do we enroll everyone else into this? And so we've been having some team meetings around that. And a lot of it's, you know, like I like to just always just kind of do a little quick on one scale of 1 to 10. Where are you? I've never used it to like, I'm playing with it to like, I'm actually using it and seeing where people
I use it for my job as an advisor because then my notes are recorded, and then I just have AI just summarize my notes and make to-do lists.
Oh, yeah.
So now I can just focus on the deliverables I need to get out to my clients.
Yep.
Now, in terms of my own business, that's where I need help. I need my mentor to say, you should implement AI, because I need, you know, I need someone to tell me what to do, right? It's easier. It's hard, you know. So, so I'm trying to learn little pieces here and there to use it, but for the most part, I like to use it to make my job more efficient. So I think on a level of 1 to 10 where I am, I'm kind of like at a 5, I'd have to say. Of course, right in the middle, right?
Yeah. There's right
in the middle. I know the value of it, but then also there's that fear part as well. Yeah, it's tough. I do have a client, a veteran, who is a nuclear engineer, and now he's a software engineer, and he works in AI, and he is hesitant. He doesn't like new technology, which is really interesting. And he's like, I'm old school. I don't like to like, and so I'm like, okay, you make me feel like, oh, it's okay. I can take my time learning about AI. I don't have to like be overwhelmed by it and just take it one baby step at a time.
Well, actually, that's kind of the advice that always comes out of these group meetings is, and we will give some guidance on how do you actually talk to AI and ask a good question, all that kind of good stuff, because that's kind of the point is, I think you just got to start playing with it. When you start playing with it, you start to go, oh, wow, this is sort of interesting.
Yeah, and have AI get to know you, right? Like, so I named my AI, her name is Sage. When I type my client notes, she types my client notes and puts them together, it's in there so I can reference them and say, remember when, so now the client is here, and how best can, you know, we move forward and that kind of stuff with my client notes. So I get some insight But I still think using like creativity of your own is the best, right?
Yes. So I've spent a lot of time trying to teach my AI who I am, what my processes are, all this, so that I could say, hey, I got a 4-hour facilitation, and I'm out pops this thing and go, wow, that's pretty good.
It's like, I feel like it's cheating. And then I also have a daughter who is in nuclear engineering, and she's like, Mom, you're better than AI. Like, so then I have her on my shoulder telling me that it's causing all this, like, you know, the data centers and all this energy. But then part of it is, so I try to balance it.
There you go.
You know, help save the world and also help make us more efficient.
Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Time to put a little bow on this thing.
Wow. We could talk all day, couldn't we?
Yeah, that was fun, huh?
Yeah, it was great.
So I always like to ask the big question of what you want people to remember. So of all the things we kind of talked about, like, what's the one big takeaway?
As an entrepreneur and advising entrepreneurs is, just come, like, talk to somebody. If you're thinking about it, you're not sure what to do, just talk to somebody who's in the field, whether you're a veteran, you talk to the VBOC, or you talk to any other wonderful resources that are out there, because you don't know what you don't know. And it just makes you feel more comfortable if it's right for you, or maybe it's not right for you. But just take that first step. And then we can help you. If you continue with entrepreneurship and you want to go that route, we can help you every single step along the way, that you're not alone and there's someone has your back.
Wow. Yeah. Love it.
Well, okay,
we got to thank Felina Hansen for putting us together.
Thank you, Felina.
This has been a lot of fun.
I love it.
Really appreciate what you're doing out here, and especially love the model of what you're working on and helping all these entrepreneurs, but also the products you're putting out in the marketplace.
Definitely.
Are amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely needed. So
keep up the work, Tracy. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, that's our show for today. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, where we're all counting on you.